Well, good morning, Resurrection Presbyterian Church, and anyone else who may be joining in online. My name is Jared Bryant, and I am the pastor of Resurrection. And in these few weeks before we gather back in person, we're taking the time to examine what really matters for us as a church. What is it that we are passionate about? What are we working towards? And what do we hope to see God do in our midst? In other words, what is the mission of Resurrection Presbyterian Church? And so we've looked at some of Paul's words in his letter to the Corinthians, where he pointed out to us what is, in his words, of first importance. And what is central we are seeing is Jesus, his life, his death, and his resurrection. That's what you might say is the sun from which all the planets of our lives and passions and labors are meant to orbit around. But when we dig deeper into more of the how are we to live question, we're focusing on three words that communicate what we want to be about, and that is gathering, growing, and giving. This is how we say it, but the ideas are not new. They're as old as the Christian faith, because they capture Jesus' own mission, which had its roots even further back in the Old Testament. We are a small part of this much bigger work that God has been doing around the world and across time. And last week, we looked at our call to gather, and what we saw in Matthew 9 was Jesus' heart that goes out to humanity and his call to us to be a part of helping people come home to God through him. But the mission of the church isn't just gathering in, it's about growing up, about who we become as we draw close to Jesus. And the passage we're looking at is really just one of many different places we could go to consider what growing up looks like, but we've got to start somewhere. And so here we are in Paul's letter to the Colossians, and it's a longer passage, and I believe your groups have already read them. And if you haven't already, we're looking at verses 1 through 17 in the third chapter. In the short time we have together, there's so much that we won't be able to cover in this passage. But what I do want to focus on is five observations about the growth that will shape how we live as a church. So first, I want us to see that the growth that we are called to is intentional. What I mean by that is, by growth being intentional, is that it's something that we actively pursue with purpose. There's a scene in Alice in Wonderland where Alice is trying to find her way in this new and strange world, and she meets this Cheshire Cat who asks her the simple question, "Where are you going?" And she responds, "Which way should I go?" "Well," says the cat, "that depends on where you are going." "I don't know," says Alice. Then the cat answers, "Then it doesn't matter which way you go." If we don't know where we are going, then what are the chances of us actually ending up there? The call to growth that we're seeing here is an intentional movement towards a specific goal. And so if we're not trying to pursue growth, how will we ever get there? There are at least four commands of what we are actively to do here. Verse 1, we are told to seek something. Verse 2, we are told to set our minds on something. Verse 5, we are told to put something to death, which is very strong language. Verse 6, we are told to put on something. Now, at this point, I'm not even explaining what those somethings are. I just want to point out that there is a call to action. As a pastor, I run into this common misunderstanding of the Christian life that it's like floating down the river. As long as I'm in the right boat, I'll just automatically find myself ending up where I need to go. But the language that Jesus himself uses, along with other New Testament writers use, it paints a very different picture. It's not passively floating downstream. It's actually actively, rigorously, and sometimes painfully paddling upstream against the current that is set against us. So here, seek, set your minds, put to death, put on, all carry with them a call to action, along with a sense of urgency. Do you sense this in your own life? this movement, this intentionality towards growth. The growth that we are called to is intentional. And second, the growth that we are called to pursue flows out of our identity. So before God tells us how we are to live, He reminds us who we are. So the movie Cool Runnings is roughly based on the true story of the first Jamaican bobsled team in 1988 Winter Olympics. And as you can imagine, there's not exactly a lot of bobsledding that naturally goes on in Jamaica. And so the idea of a bobsled team from here was mocked by pretty much everyone, and they faced a lot of resistance. And there's one member of the team who's very timid and very much afraid of his father and disappointing his father to the point where he's ready to give up and go home. And one of the team members takes him to a mirror and asks him the question, "What do you see?" And his answer in a weak and very defeated voice is simply, I see Junior. And his friend answers, "You know what I see? I see pride. I see power. I see a bad man who don't take nothing from nobody." Now, I cleaned up that last part just a bit. But Junior hears that and says, "You really see all that?" And he says, "Yes, but it doesn't really matter what I see. It matters what you see." And he says, "Repeat after me." And he has him repeat this phrase again and again. And as Junior repeats it and he grounds himself in this identity, what you see is courage growing. You see strength growing. You see passion growing. You see him coming alive in a way like never before because he is becoming grounded in a new identity. What do you see when you look in the mirror? Who are you? What stories do you believe about yourself? Presented in these words is the reality that God wants us to be grounded in and live out of every day. Verse 3, you have died with Christ. Verse 1, you have been raised with Christ. Verse 3, your life is hidden with Christ in God. In other words, for those who trust in Jesus, God in His wisdom and love has connected our life to His with a powerful and unbreakable bond. We are united to Jesus and so welcomed into the very bond and love that exists between the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And one of the best pictures of this comes from Jesus Himself, and it's this picture of branches being connected to a vine. So cut off from the vine, these branches have no life and they wither away and die. But when they are joined to the vine, they experience all the life that comes from the vine itself, and it bears abundant fruit. Those belonging to Jesus have a place in God's life being joined to Him. But those belonging to Jesus also have a place in God's heart. Three powerful statements in verse 12. We are chosen. God, knowing everything about us, even the worst, has intentionally set His affection upon us, not reluctantly, but with passion and with joy. We are holy. We are set apart. We've been brought out of darkness, given new purpose. We are beloved, not just tolerated, but genuinely loved and delighted in. And we are meant to look in the mirror every day and see this new identity. And if we don't start there, then growth is going to become for us just a self-improvement plan to try to earn or maintain God's love in a place in His family, and it never bears good fruit. It does not give life. It will not. It only takes it away. Before God calls us what to do, He reminds us of who we are in Him and who we are to Him. So third, the growth that we are called to pursue, it involves personal transformation. So in our Western American mindset, we tend to equate increased knowledge with personal growth. In other words, the more we learn, the better people we're going to become. Now, I read a lot and I'm always trying to learn more, and I believe that's a good thing. And even Paul in verse 10 talks about growing in knowledge to be more like God Himself. But what we don't want to miss is that the kind of growth that we are to pursue is actually a much deeper and more difficult work than we realized. Notice the kind of change that we are called to. Verses 5 through 11, where we see impurity, sexual immorality, evil desires, covetousness, idolatry, anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk. These are not at their core knowledge problems. These are heart problems. And notice what we are to put on in verses 12 through 14. Compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, bearing with one another, forgiving one another, loving one another. Those are qualities of the soul that you cannot learn yourself into. Yes, knowledge does play a role, which is why I'm teaching right now. But what is needed is an actual change of heart, an inner transformation that really only God can do. So our family right now is reading through the Gospel of John together in the evenings, just small bits of time, and saying a few prayers together. This is one small area that we are intentionally trying to grow in as a family. And the other night, we read about Jesus' famous encounter with Nicodemus. So as a Pharisee, Nicodemus' head was packed full with biblical knowledge. He knew his Old Testament through and through. But Jesus was clear in his conversation. Humans don't have primarily an information problem. We have a transformation problem. In his own words, in his conversation with Nicodemus, he says, "This is the judgment. Light has come into the world, but people loved the darkness rather than the light." What we need is a radical inner transformation, changing our love for the darkness to a love for the light, which is why Jesus talked about our need for a new birth or to be born again, which made absolutely no sense to Nicodemus. When Paul talks about dying with Jesus and being raised with him, that's new birth language. It's carrying the idea of new life happening in Christ and through Christ. And this is both a one-time act of God as well as an ongoing work of transformation. That's why Paul is using this language of putting to death these old ways and putting on new ways. The message is not just try harder or learn more, but be changed from the inside out by Jesus himself. And my worry is that in our circles, we often have some knowledge and we know the right things to do. We know enough and we do enough that it covers up a heart that has not been changed by God and a heart that is not being changed by God. That we're just going through the motions and it's masking what's going on inside of us. What kind of transformation are you seeing in your life? And what kind of real change are others seeing in your life? Fourth, the growth that we are called to pursue happens in community. In other words, you cannot do this alone. Let me repeat this. You cannot grow in the way you need to or are called to by yourself. You need other people, and also other people need you. You have your own role to play in the growth of others. Every time you see the words you or your in this text, it's plural. So are all of the verbs and commands. They are not directed at an individual, but at a community, a web of relationships called the church. There is a sense of oneness, a unity that is at the heart of this family of faith. Verse 11, here there's no Greek and Jew, circumcised, uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. The body of Christ, that is the church, is meant to reflect a beautiful diversity and a beautiful unity. People of all different backgrounds coming together over a common bond in Jesus. And that's an area I hope our own church grows in the years to come. And notice how much of what we are called to put to death and what we are called to put on has to do with how we treat others in relationships. Compassion, kindness, humility, forbearance, forgiveness, love, those are all relational. How we live with other people. That is what growth looks like. And so we are told in this communal effort to let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, to let his words, his message seep deeply into our souls and then have it come out towards others as we share it, teaching and admonishing and even singing. So true confession, the big reason why I'm even talking about this passage is because I was sharing with a friend this past week about an upcoming difficult conversation, and I'd shared some of my own concerns and even showed some of my own defensiveness and lack of love. And this friend listened and cared and shared these words in verses 12 through 14. And it reminded me of who I am in Jesus, chosen, holy, beloved. It reminded me of what I'm called to put to death, anger, malice, slander. It reminded me of what I'm called to put on, compassion, humility, forbearance, and forgiveness. They could have just said, yeah, that stinks. I'll pray for you. And maybe they did pray, maybe they don't. But they did something different. They actually changed the trajectory of my whole week by what they shared. And it spilled over in a good way into the lives of others. Proverbs 27:6 says, faithful are the wounds of a friend. Proverbs 16:24, gracious words are like honey, sweetness to the soul and health to the body. What a gift community really is. What a gift it's meant to be. You will not grow if you are not connected with others. You need others and others need you. And finally, the growth that we are called to pursue is God-centered through and through. Verse 17, whatever you do, word, deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to him through God the Father. When we hear do everything in the name of the Lord, what that means is that Jesus is the gravitational center of our lives. That's meant to shape everything that we do. All of our words, all of our actions, all of our thoughts, every detail of our lives, however small, is meant to be lived in him, with him, and for him. 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Galatians 2:20, I've been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And that's the note that I want us to end on. What is at the heart of the Christian life, of this growth that we're pursuing? It is living by faith in the Son of God who loved us and gave himself freely and fully for us. And giving thanks in all things because he is good always. For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen.